Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Public Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the, I'm going to do it again, of free speech, because I'm going to, I was on with David Duke this morning, and I'm going to play that, but first go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send funded to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719. The operator is standing by. I am standing by with Dr. Duke. By the way, you know why you're hearing Michael Jackson? Whenever I have Dr. Duke on this show, I refuse to play any music by white people because I think it's funny. It's all blacks all the time because when you think of David Duke, you think of 1970s soul music. That's what I think of.
Keep me up to date and keep me going here. And there's so much to go on because I can start this show off. First of all, I want to welcome at the very beginning of the show, Dr. Patrick Slattery, a professor, a person who's been a teacher in the Ivy League. He's got a PhD and he's traveled to many parts of the world. He's got a great understanding of the world as it really is, not in the false image and the false reality that the Jews present in terms of the media, and we can give you so many decent examples of that. Remember the Hunter Biden laptop? Yeah, doctor, remember that Hunter Biden laptop? That was all Russian disinformation, wasn't it?
I never heard of it.
It was just totally Russian disinformation. It just turned out to be nothing but Jewish disinformation, that it was Russian disinformation, because it's the Jews that control our media. It's the Jews who were affecting our election. And when I say the Jews, I'm talking about, you know, the collective, the Jewish collective, or more importantly, the Jewish elite, the Jewish billionaire elite, which so dominate our political funding. I'm not going to do it because it takes too much time, but, you know, I've got a great chart, for instance, of the first race that Hillary Clinton ran with against Trump, and it says her 20 biggest billionaire contributors, and these were people that were giving, like, more than $1 million on down to million minimum, you know, and these are the 20 biggest billionaire contributors. And of the 20, 18 are Jewish Zionists, 18 of them. It's like, you can't make it up. I could read all the names out and it would sound like some Jewish wedding or some sort of Jewish crazy thing, but that's the way it is. And then they dare to say that they don't dominate American politics. And yet they do dominate in so many ways, and they dominate in much bigger ways than most of the opposition or the controlled opposition of social media and other media talks about. For instance, they talk about the, let me see if you agree with this. They talk about AIPAC and how powerful AIPAC is. But they actually are not telling the whole story, because they talk about the fact that AIPAC gave some money to certain candidates, opposition, in order to keep pro-Zionists in office and to make sure that anti-Zionists didn't get to office. And so they do this, right? But the interesting thing is that they didn't even talk about the biggest amount of money that AIPAC affairs, American Israel Public Affairs Committee. And they don't talk about the fact that they have a list of hundreds, I mean, literally hundreds and hundreds of Jewish billionaires, and Jews are trying to train from their mother's milk, practically, to stand up for Jewish interest, stand up for the interests of Israel, the Jewish narrative on things, the Jewish, both secularly and religiously. It's amazing how they do this, and yet they don't talk about the fact that a single person, this, like the Adelsons. I just read a report that was done in a major publication, and it was talking about how the Adelsons, we're talking about the Adelson, the casino magnate, and his wife, Miriam Adelson. So they gave, in terms of to Trump and involved in these elections, about $600 million over, you know, about three campaigns. $600 million, along to other PACs that donated as well. Some of it's kind of hidden, but it's all there. And that takes a single phone call. $600 million, the whole budget of AIPAC is only about $1 million a year. Yet this is just not ever mentioned. It's not the fact that AIPAC is just contributing to all these candidates outright. It's just that they can call up any Jew with no expense of fundraising, basically, and say, Mr. Blumenthal or Mr. Greenberger, we got to beat this anti-Semitic candidate out there. We got to support this Israel advocate, or we got to support this Jewish supremacist, you know, who's trying to shut down these anti-Semitic speeches and talks and websites. And but, you know, obviously they, you know, are you there still there, Patrick? You didn't get disconnected, did you?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. So
I was sending a message to our engineer.
Okay, well, good. So,
I plan on using this for my show as well.
Oh, well, so great. You're certainly welcome to, and we look forward to, you know, hearing that. And you're on the Republic Broadcast Network. So those who are listening on Republic now for the show today are going to be listening now when they hear it on archive on Republic. You know, there you are. Have a good day, folks. You're going to enjoy this one, I think. So, yeah. So
shalom, y'all.
Yeah, shalom. Yeah, shalom, absolutely. But, yeah, it's interesting how that even the controlled opposition sometimes just doesn't have the complete picture as clearly as you and I presented it over these last 13 years or so. We corrected the record. We've shown how AIPAC is a lot more than just the contributions. It's still one of the biggest lobbies in the country. I think it competes with AARP in terms of money. But the real money of it is multiplied by a huge magnitude of more money. But they never talk about how that money is used. And it's so dominant in American politics, it's almost unimaginable to think that 18 of the 20 biggest contributors to Hillary Clinton, 9 out of the 10 of the biggest contributors to Biden, same thing. You know, 10 out of 11 of the biggest contributors to Kamala Harris, same thing.
Yeah. AIPAC is really, I call it kosher certification. You're certified as kosher. And AIPAC, it's not so much that they directly give a lot of money, but they do directly give money. But they kind of coordinate it, and they say what's kosher, what's not. And for, you know, you're talking about these huge sums of money that have gone to presidential candidates. The way they effectively control or dominate Congress is it's a little different. Rather than huge amounts of money to people, they give money to tons of candidates. Often they give money to both candidates running in an election. But the way they dominate Congress,
they control both sides, so they can control the output no matter who wins, right? In some cases.
Well, yeah, and most, especially in the House of Representatives, but to an extent in the Senate, most seats are safe seats. They're either safe Democrat seat or safe Republican seat. And so for most people in Congress, the only way you're going to the only threat you really have is from like a strong primary opponent. It could be a strong general election opponent.
Right.
And because it costs so much money to run, I mean, even to run in a routine House district, you need $2 million, really, if you're going to run an effective campaign every 2 years.
Well, $2 million
that's
minimal.
2 years. That's minimal. And that's $20,000 a week. You have to raise $20,000 a week. That's a lot
every
of money.
Week
in, week out. And so people are safe. Once they're in, they're safe. An incumbent can raise that kind of money. But if you're not an incumbent, it's really hard. But if the incumbent steps out of line with AIPAC, then AIPAC is able to focus money on a primary challenger or sometimes a general election challenger. And that's a big danger. So it's very similar to a situation where you might have one or two gunmen and they're holding an entire bank lobby hostage. You know, there might be, or bank lobby or airline counter or something. You might have hundreds of people taken hostage by just a couple of gunmen, but everybody knows if they're the first person to move, they're going to get zapped. And if all of Congress was to stand up at once, the AIPAC money wouldn't be enough, but they don't. And AIPAC is able to pick off anybody who steps out of line with a well-funded primary or sometimes general election opponent. Anyway, I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. And you know, something, apologetics is basically the aspect of rhetoric in terms of explaining issues to the public so they understand them. And so I apologize. Yeah, I really have to always work, and I always have to hone my own words and my way I express things, because I need to express myself a little better now than I did a little earlier, in the sense I really didn't seem to get over the point I was making, is that the fact that AIPAC doesn't write a check to 90% of the money they effectively contribute to a candidate, or contribute to his opponent of a particular candidate they want to destroy. It's not the amount of money they directly give. It's the money that they can affect, because they have a list of the richest Jews in America. And that way, it's not even on the eight PAC rolls. It's an individual who sets up his own super PAC or whatever. And that's easy for a rich person to do, to set up a super PAC. The average person couldn't do it. The average person is limited to maybe, I think it's $2,500 election cycle these days. That's the maximum you can print, unless you're going to start a super PAC of your own, which is very expensive. And you've had, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to have the lawyers and the mechanism to be able to do that stuff. So it's the fact that APAC can pick up the phone and they have a list of that of 1,000, say, Jewish billionaire contributors, where they can get anywhere from 10,000 or 100,000 or a million or even millions, especially if it's a very targeted candidate that Jews really oppose. They can literally get that money delivered to the candidate of their choice. It's not coming from a check from APAC, but APAC serves, and it doesn't take much money to have a clearinghouse and a mailing list and a phone list of these people that they've worked with and known who are Jewish billionaires, oligarchs, who can contribute vast amounts of money, unimaginable amounts of money to any single candidate they want. And that one billionaire Jew, and they have 1,000 of them probably, I think, absolutely, billionaire Jews. Not all of them can give a billion, but most of them could even give a million and not skip a beat. It would be like somebody giving 1,000 or 500 to a lot of just the average people in America. But the fact that they can give that kind of money or get that delivered to the candidate doesn't even show up as an APAC issue. And the fact that they can do this and they're supporting another country's agenda, another country's thing, as well as an alien agenda, an agenda that goes against Americans, and they're not even going to show up as the source of this money. So the clarity of the fact that this is Jewish money and Jewish establishment money, Jewish deep state money, that most of these Jews are part of, are also big supporters of what's called the Council of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations, like the ADLs on it, you know, American Jewish Committee, so many other organizations. And they can tell you these billionaires, and they get money for any project, any attack on anybody. They can also, if they say that somebody is getting a credit card processing like I'm getting, or perhaps that you would be getting, or anybody else, they can call their Jewish banker friends and then call the ADL, which they're going to know. And then they can reach out, find out, easily monitor who's getting credit card processing. And then they call up the bank and say, you're doing the credit card processing of anti-Semite Patrick Slattery or David Duke or whoever they want, and get you canceled. I've had literally dozens and dozens of processors turn me down and not even do it, even for selling my books. So basically, I'm not even allowed to essentially use money. It's as if in the Middle Ages, or say, it's just as if you were back in the 1940s or 50s, and that's essentially exactly what it is. In the 40s and 50s, all you'd have to do is consider the idea somehow they could put something on the currencies that the currency wouldn't work if you were going to, you know, if you were going to receive it from an individual, if it's going to go into my bank account or something like that. And so this is a power that's enormous. It's basically, you don't have the, it'd be as if they could put something, a chip in a silver coin or gold coin, the way it used to be in the United States for our currencies, both coinage and for currency backed up by gold. It used to be that way in the sense that, you know, you could trade in gold or silver coin. But imagine if you could put a chip in it or something, so certain people, if they have their own political opinion, can't receive a coin and receive the financial credit from a person that wanted to buy one of your books or wanted to contribute to one of your campaigns or contribute to, you know, the work that you're doing or simply give you a donation. That is huge power, and it's an intolerable power, isn't it? It's kind of like it's scary. It's 1984-ish, in my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, 1984 was supposed to be fiction, not prophecy, but actually maybe it was supposed to be prophecy, and it's turned out that way. And you know, we've got it coming at us from all directions. And the scary new thing is AI, which on the one hand, AI could be used so beneficially to improve people's lives, but you've got you know, just recently in the news, the report that was issued by the International Atomic Energy Agency that gave some sort of legitimacy, or was used as some sort of fig leaf of legitimacy to bomb Iran. It was an AI generated report, not on concrete intelligence or information about Iran's nuclear program, but AI assessment on the intent of Iranian leaders. Supposedly it's like mind reading or something. And that's one example. Another very recent example is the State Department. About a month ago, it suspended interviewing students who are applying for a student visa, because the State Department or the embassies will interview the candidates before they get the student visa. It suspended all these interviews in order to allow for the development of an AI tool to look at the students' social media to find anti-Israel content.
Now, this is another... Go ahead.
Not anti-American content, by the way. Right. Anti-Israel content.
Well, of course. That's pro-American. That's pro-MAGA comment. You know, real MAGA.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full 1-year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion activated at furion.com. That's furion.com. That's furion.com.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less value its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar, has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in five easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
I mean, what was the sign they had at some Trump rallies? Was it not one of the slogans? They actually put up a big sign at a Trump rally saying, not make America great again, but make Israel great again. They actually made a banner like that and put it up. Is that what it was? Is that what the name of that slogan was?
I couldn't say, but, you know, the spokeswoman for the State Department, who's Tammy Bruce, people might be familiar with her because she used to appear on Tucker's show, and then I guess she got a weekend show on Fox News or something like that. She said America's the greatest country on earth next to Israel.
Yeah, America's the greatest country on earth except for Israel. Israel's the, you know, she said Israel's the greatest country on earth. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, That, how in the world could anybody say that? I mean, it's just amazing.
Especially at a time when they're in the middle of committing genocide and aggressive wars with all of their neighbors and trying to drag the United States into World War III with Iran, backed by, you know, potentially China and Russia.
And the way that
that's
I express
a great country there.
That's true.
Yeah.
And the way I express it, and the way I expressed it yesterday, which is probably worth repeating, is the fact that the same, it's so interesting, it's not just Israel, but the same Jewish elite that controls American politics. We talked about fundraising earlier, 18 of the 20 biggest contributors to Hillary Clinton, 9 of the 10 contributors to Biden, 10 of the 11 contributors to Kamala Harris. I mean, we just go on and on and on. And the three biggest contributors, and the biggest single contributors to Donald Trump over the last three elections. Musk gave a pretty good deal in the last election. But they actually, the Adelsons, just these two Jews, a couple, gave $600 million, apparently, to the Trump campaigns. And then you also, the next two in line, other than Musk in terms of the last election, was the head of Home Depot, who's Jewish, and another Jew. I can't think of his name right now. But and that's the people that influence people like the President of the United States. And Trump's guilty of bribery. I mean, he basically got on television and said, yeah, they said, I bring more money. I'll do whatever you want. That's what he said. He's saying, I'll take your bribes. Come bring me a few million dollars and I'll do whatever you want. You know, I ask him, you want me to do anything else for you? Just bring me some more money. I mean, he basically admitted that he's, you know, a bribing cuck. He's not putting America first, but putting his own self in his election, his campaign, his person, you know, first. And he's also making a lot of money in the process. So that's an impeachable offense. And he's also, you know, taking us to war without any sort of thing. I went through some of these things yesterday. You know, the same Jewish elite that supports us to go to war, for instance, in Iraq, that costs us $8 trillion. I just hope anybody out there listening, we've said this number a lot of times, but is anybody out there, can you really just think it's almost an unimaginable amount of money? It's hard to even picture $8 trillion. It fills up a number of mansion sizes, you know, if you were doing this in cash. I mean, $8 trillion. $8 trillion. That's the equivalent of 5 years of the entire revenue of the United States government, which, by the way, a lot of it was loaned. It was part of the national debt. I mean, and so the amount of money that is just so incredible. 5 years of the revenue of America, I mean, and that's enough money, $8 trillion, to probably pay for the health insurance of those people who can't afford it, to give, you know, free education to those that are trying to get a good education. But the same people who are doing this, the same people who are supporting this kind of letting Jews take us into wars, and it's a lot worse than just the money. It's also the blood of 7,000-8,000 Americans that died, and I think many more died than that because they died in later years because of the health effects from their injuries, from the sicknesses they got, from the suicides, from the PTSD they got, the brain injuries they got, which, you know, and we're letting these Jews send us to war on the base, and it's all on the basis of lies. I don't think there's anything more un-American than that. That's America last big time when you put your own soldiers in harm's way for lies. And then you start looking at the other things, all right? The same people, you know, the same people who do these wars are the same people who promote pornography. I'm talking about the Jewish deep state in that. And Nathan Abrams is a very famous Jewish scholar who's documented Triple X Nixon, the pornographic industry. He says the Jews are the Walt Disney's of porn. The Jews absolutely dominate the entire porn industry in the world. I mean, literally 80-90% of the biggest porn kings. And then he quotes porn kings like Al Goldstein as saying, it's not just merely money is why Jews are in porn. It's because we think Christ sucks, right? Wasps suck, and we love the subversive quality. We love to degrade these disgusting Gentiles, and we're doing this because we're trying to degrade them and weaken them in their own country. The same people who have supported the LGBTQ craziness and insanity are the same people who are trying to get our kids castrated, or the kids, the women's breasts cut off when they're children, when they can't make these decisions, are the same ones who've been led by this thing. The people who supported homosexual you know, advocacy and so forth, and which has also made more children vulnerable to predators. Because when you teach children that homosexuals are really great people and they're very trustworthy and they're just wonderful people, when that older homosexual puts his arm around you and says, "Yeah, son, yeah, let's go out and have a good dinner. I'll go buy a steak or something." Oh, well, that's good. That-
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Get more tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get more tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get more tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Howdy, cousins. This is RBN host Blackbird 9, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn, asking you to please support the Republic Broadcasting Network. Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voices to spread truth and relevant information, to gain a deeper understanding of the adversary, and to gain knowledge for survival against the gradual erosion of the Republic. But in order to sustain this incredible communications network, RBN needs your financial contributions. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 1-800-724-2719, or mail your donations to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Homosexuals are really great people, and they're very trustworthy, and they're just wonderful people. When that older homosexual puts his arm around you and says, "Yeah, son, yeah, let's go out and have a good dinner. I'll go buy a steak or something." Oh, well, that's great. That's great, Joe. Let's do it sometime. And yet that's what they do. When I was a kid and you were a kid, Doctor, we were taught by our parents, I believe, by society, that you got to really be careful because there's some predators out there. then you got to watch out. If anybody, some stranger comes up to you in a bathroom and tries to say anything to you, you got to be aware of this. Nowadays, it basically gets kids to think, well, they don't want to hurt anybody's feeling. Homosexuals are wonderful people. So if a homosexual tries to cozy up to you, even if it's an older homosexual, you don't want to hurt their feelings. I mean, they really, and this has caused the predation, the horrible abuse of millions and millions of young boys, because it's very prominent among the homosexual men. And but they've been the ones portraying it. They're the ones who are portraying the legalization of some of the sickest, weirdest pornography in the world, in which our foreign founding fathers believed in free speech for political things, but they absolutely didn't necessarily theoretically or in practice support vicious and vile, bloody pornography in society. But and there's so many other areas. It's the same people who supported communism on a global basis. And communism became one of the biggest killing fields in the history of the world. The same people who promoted the First World War and the Second World War, and we've documented and shown this. So it's very interesting that what they're trying to do now is they're trying to tell people on the right wing, well, listen, you got to support Israel because they're against those doggone Muslims, right? And, you know, but the truth is that the displacement of Palestinians in their own country, where they were a vast majority, 90% of the people, is exactly what they're doing, that they did to America over the last 100 years, what they're doing to Great Britain in opening the borders, because Jews have led all those efforts for it, as well as the degradation of our willingness to survive ourselves or to actually want to continue as, in our existence and our physical existence as a people. And by the way, I'm not in favor of any discrimination against people, hurting people, dragging them down, not allowing, you know, the best to be qualified to get the job or promotion or scholarship. I don't believe in demeaning any other people. I don't believe in being hateful toward any other people, abusing any other people, enslaving any other people, any sort of criminal behavior against anyone, any violence or anything else against any other people. But I do believe that people have the right to desire to produce or preserve their own particular identity. It's only natural. 90% of Turks are absolutely in agreement that they want to preserve Turkey as a Turkish nation. I think the Greeks feel the same way. I think the Scots feel the same way in general, even though they're being programmed by these Jews to probably hate themselves. I think the Chinese feel the same way. Obviously, they've worked to protect their people, by the way. And they've seen a threat by different minorities like the Uyghurs and so forth in China. But it's the question, really, it's just amazing to think that all these things that people complain about, the physical and economic exploitation, like the frauds of Goldman Sachs, that literally destroyed a whole country's educational budget and healthcare budget in a Goldman Sachs criminal bribery conspiracy to bribe people handling the finances of Malaysia and steal it for Goldman Sachs, which they not only were charged with, they pled guilty to it. And yet you wouldn't even know this about Goldman Sachs. You would, if you're watching MSNBC, you're not going to see anything about this, about Goldman Sachs every day. They're going to interview all these people, treat them like they're gods of finance and great people, while they were convicted of a $4.5 billion criminals conspiracy. It's just like the Epstein ring. So we got to remember that this is the power of Jewish supremacy and Jewish supremacism. It's a lot more than just Palestine. But in the truth is, if Europeans don't like the idea of being overwhelmed by massive immigration of a people who are going to outnumber them and outvote them, they don't like that idea. That's exactly what's going on in terms of Palestine. It's maybe worse for them because they're just bloody killing them. However, Jews have actually weaponized and made black people in America and black people around the world hate white people, because Jews have been the overwhelming controllers of global media, coming mostly out of the United States and Hollywood and other sorts of institutions that have demonized and taught people to hate white people. They talk about Israel like, well, Israel's doing this because they're a white supremacist country. I mean, that's so insane. They're an apartheid country. No, they're not apartheid. They're genocidal. And whatever the Western, yeah, Westerners had empires, the Romans had empires, but so did Genghis Khan, so did Muslim empires like the Ottomans all the way next to the you know, laying down fire on the walls of Vienna. They took over Spain and Portugal. And in fact, a lot of horrible crimes going on against Europeans there. They kidnapped a lot of young boys. And they took them into, you know, physical slavery and sexual slavery. I saw a video on this last night, which I wouldn't have watched. It was so so horrible. What happened to tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of boys which were captured by the Ottoman Empire and then brought to Istanbul and were sexually abused, but they educated them for their intelligentsia, but they were just, they lived a horrific life where they had to accept horrific sexual abuse. So, I mean, but this is the way, you know, Jews operate. They do anything they can to destroy the identity of the people among whom they live, but they themselves have the opposite standards. Any thoughts on that before we move on with this video?
Let's move on.
Okay, here we go. That's hard to understand. It's in the sense. Now, that's one of the people running this office.
You could sit there, like many people on the right are, and they are just livid about this and saying, wow, the Democratic Party, how far they've fallen. Wow, look at these voters. We've been totally taken over by some crazed extremists. It's literally the exact same language that I heard from Democrats about Trump supporters. They're extremists. They're far right. We've been taken over by Nazis. They're going to march us into fascism. It's literally the exact same stupid language. And yet the right is using it, and they're unable to see 2 inches past their own damn noses. And they're not realizing that a momentous shift has happened in America, and you're either on board or you can get off the effing train, because we do not want to be Israel first anymore. We are America first. That shouldn't even need to be said. But somehow, for some reason, we have to say it to you idiots. It's America first. How hard is this? But they're sitting there thinking, oh, no, it's just a bunch of socialists and radicals that have taken over. And that sounds exactly like the Democrats that couldn't figure out why they lost in 2024. They cannot. Oh, we will win, of course, because you just hate Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is a fascist. You're not going to vote for fascism. You're not going to vote for extremism, far right crazies. Oh, how dare you? No. And they completely lost the plot. And Americans voted for Donald Trump, handed him all the swing states and said, you know what, Democrats, you guys have completely lost it with your crazy trans agendas and your misinformation, cracking down on misinformation campaigns, and you're opening up all the borders to all the people. You've lost the plot. America doesn't want that anymore. But guess what?
Ned, brilliant doctor. I mean, she's talking about everything we just talked about. I mean, these same people.
This is Kim Iverson.
These are the same. She's pointing out these are the same people who've done all the LGBTQism, who've opposed every bit of the main programs Trump said he was for, but he's not following through on support of that Make America Great Again, but he's making Israel great again. And now he's promised to be against wars, and we just involved ourselves in a war. Like, it's not a war when you bomb people's nuclear reactors. Let me tell you, if anybody bombed a nuclear reactor in the United States of America, they would consider those acts as a way of war. And what America would do in return, probably drop nukes on the country, if somebody actually went to that far, because of even the danger. The idea of bombing any sort of nuclear facility is absolutely horrific in terms of the possible damages and the threat to humanity. They had no way of knowing whether or not that radiation would have been moved or not, and they didn't know. They thought it was there. That's why they attacked. But if they knew it was there, they were committing a possible massive crime against humanity with how many total people. They could make something far worse than Chernobyl easily. But even so again, everything is this double standard, isn't it?
Yeah. And before the show, you were also mentioning the New York City mayor
election.
Well, the Democratic primary election. Are we going to go into that?
Yeah, let's get it. Let me get it.
The GOP is losing the plot again, because now we're starting to see those things getting fixed, right? So we're feeling good. We're like, all right, the borders are pretty much closed. Donald Trump did a good job on that. We're starting to make change that Americans wanted. So now we're able to focus on something else, something bigger, something that's actually potentially driving us into World War III, and that's Israel and our unwavering blind support for Israel. No matter what they do, we see images of dead babies on our television screens and on our social media day in and day out, and yet they can't figure out that, you know what, we don't really actually support this as the American people. Just like Democrats couldn't figure out, you know what, when you open up the borders and you let just random people flood into our country, and then we hear news reports of them committing rapes and murders, we don't really want that for our country. And Democrats couldn't figure that out. And here's the GOP, totally and completely, and Democratic establishment, mind you, unable to figure out that Americans, want America first. I know, novel, totally, completely novel. Here is a perfect showcasing of what it is Americans want.
First foreign visit by a mayor of New York is always considered significant. Where would you go first? Right? The silence.
Well, I should say this isn't what America wants. This is a showcasing of what America has. And Mamdani, the one who answered correctly, and who ended up winning this Democratic primary is what Americans want.
This is going to be amazing.
I just want to point out something. So at this mayoral debate, the moderator asked the various candidates, where would your first foreign trip be? Which is an odd thing to ask, but where would your first foreign trip be?
I thought he just asked, what are you going to do your first day? Or something like that. I didn't think it was
And
where are you going to go? Said, it's something more general, like where are you going to go first?
It was specifically about what foreign country you're going to go to first, which is an odd thing to ask, but it was a leading question. He was trying to get everybody to say, I would go to Israel first. And Cuomo said, I would go to Israel first. And the next guy says, I would make my fifth trip to Israel and this and that.
Let's play it.
And I have an important point to make about it. So let's hear it.
Okay. Yeah. I want you to get that when we play it. Here we go.
I would visit the Holy Land.
Given the hostility and the anti-Semitism that has been shown in New York, I would go to Israel.
Mr. Pilsen, where would you go?
Yeah, I'd make my fourth trip to Israel, followed by my fifth trip to Ukraine, two of our greatest allies fighting on the front lines of a global war on terror.
My goal would be to take my first trip to Israel. My wife's life work in this area means a lot to our family, and it could coincide with my young son Miles' bar mitzvah.
I would stay in New York City. My plans are to address New Yorkers across the five boroughs and focus on that.
Oh, gee, it's America first. How dare he? Now listen, they literally are like, how dare you?
Mr. Mondani, can I just jump in? Would you visit Israel? Mayor?
I will be doing, as the mayor, I'll be standing up for Jewish New Yorkers and I'll be meeting them wherever they are across the five boroughs, whether that's in their synagogues and temples or at their homes or at the subway platform, because ultimately we need to focus on delivering on their concerns.
And just yes or no, do you believe in a Jewish state of Israel?
I believe Israel has the right to exist.
Not as a Jewish state?
No, as a state with equal rights.
His answer was no, he won't visit Israel.
That was terrible to say. Equal rights. Go ahead and make your comment.
So this guy, what's his name? Rohan Mumbani.
Rohan, yeah.
Who's of Indian Muslim extraction. So he would not make his first foreign trip to Israel. Well, you know who else didn't make his first foreign trip to Israel? Hitler. Think about that for a second.
I didn't make my Hitler. First foreign trip to Israel either. After I got elected.
you got there.
It's a perfect thing. I mean, a state representative is actually a more statewide influence thing than even the borough of, or part of New York City, right? And I didn't, and I don't. No one in Louisiana would have said anyone running for the state house or any sort, even governor or senator, would say the first trip they're going to make is to Israel. Now, maybe when pressed, they might, but it just shows you how far we've gone. And how can we not say that we are living under a tyranny when it's obligatory for a person running for office in America to say, Israel, I go to Israel first. And what you said earlier was so important. This Julie, what's your name? The former judge or whatever, who
Judge Napolitano?
No, the other judge, the woman judge, who said that other than the United States, they said that Israel is the greatest nation in the world.
She's not a judge. She's Tammy Bruce. She's just like a.
I thought she was a judge at one time.
No, that's a judge. You're thinking of the Lebanese woman. No,
I thought she was a judge at one time, but maybe I'm wrong. But the point is that what did she say specifically? She said, what was her exact words?
That she's so happy to work in an administration of the greatest nation on earth next to Israel.
Yeah, greatest nation next to Israel. That's the greatest nation on earth. I mean, these people, these are sycophants that are like giving alms to the foreign satrap that's occupied the United States, like a foreign colony, like just something that they control as part of their empire. And that's exactly what's going on. It's never the situation that Israel is the proxy of America, even though some controlled opposition say it. The truth is we're victims of this. Let's continue on with this for a minute.
I don't know. That's not really that controversial. It really actually shouldn't be. None of this is, in fact, him saying, actually, I wouldn't go anywhere for it. I'd be the mayor of New York City. So I'd stay in New York and address New Yorkers and their problems. And they're stunned by this. They're shocked by this. This is the political elites, the establishment, the other Democrats running on the Democratic ticket, giving these mega talking points. And you know what? Americans, it turns out, on both sides of the aisle, want MAGA. Even Democrats, they want MAGA. That's it. It's working. That is what Bernie Sanders ran on. That is what Donald Trump ran on. That is what people want. People want this. Here's Bernie Sanders from his 2016 election. This is what people voted. They wanted America first. Bernie Sanders ran on America first. He might have called it something different. It wasn't called to make America great again at that time. But we now know in hindsight, it absolutely was. And yet the political establishment, the Hillary Clinton elite, undermined him, cut him at the knees, and ensured that he wouldn't get the nomination to ensure he wouldn't become the president of the United States. Now, you might have been afraid of Bernie Sanders and said, oh, the guy's a Marxist socialist. How dare he? How dare he? But, you know, in hindsight, when you were saying that about Bernie Sanders and you preferred Hillary Clinton, in hindsight now, do you? Or do you actually look back and say, actually, Bernie was way better than Hillary Clinton. I was just a little bit brainwashed during that time. I was just a little bit still in establishment brain. And I was being told that the guy was a Marxist socialist. And in reality, he has a lot of the same ideas as Donald Trump. And then you have Donald Trump, of course, who ran on Make America Great Again. And guess what? That wins elections. And that's what Americans voted for. And now people in the GOP are pissed off because he's bombing Iran and talking about buying Greenland and Canada, making them a state, and doing all of these wonderful things for Israel and rebuilding Gaza and turning it into some sort of international zone with billions and billions of dollars. And we're going to send troops to, what, secure it or something. And we voted on America first. That's what Americans want, America first. And so a lot of the GOP right now is split and kind of pissed off. Rightly so. This isn't what they voted for. They wanted an end to the wars. And not just an end to the wars, they actually wanted to make America great again. And now that they're seeing that, well, actually, America seems to be occupied by a foreign power and controlled by foreign power, we're not so hot on that idea. We really don't like it. We really like our politicians to come back and work for Americans. But of course, they all go to Israel and they do the Wailing Wall and they do whatever they can.
She was more like a beauty queen from a movie scene. I said, don't mind, but what do you mean?
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paddy Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Well, hello, folks. This is Mike Gatti, the Rebel Madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Traverse Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Idea. We really don't like it. We really like our politicians to come back and work for Americans. But of course, they all go to Israel and they do the Wailing Wall and they do whatever they can to placate the Israeli group, those who want to make Israel great again, not America great again. And the rest of us are looking and saying, what's this kind of bullshit? We don't like this. You need to be America first. So Mamdani is just he was the America first candidate. And you might not agree with his policies. You might think, oh, this guy wants to defund the police. This guy wants to, he's all about Palestine and he's bad for Jews and they're going to go flocking, which, by the way, there are Jews who do support Zoran Mamdani, by the way, and not as many. It's true. A lot of them were very mixed. I think a lot of them sat out this election and we're going to get to that, because that is the big fear that everybody in the Republican Party should worry about right now. A lot of Democrats left the Democrat Party during COVID. There were a lot who left and said, this is insanity. The Democrats have gone insane. A lot of Democrats left the Democratic Party when they realized that they were pushing the trans agenda on their children. A lot of Democrats left the Democratic Party when there was a crackdown on information, calling it misinformation and censoring, like czars. A lot of people started leaving the Democratic Party because they didn't like what they were seeing, and they were politically homeless and they didn't know where to go. And there was this open opportunity in the GOP to start embracing those who were independent or leftists who felt political.
So we're just about finishing time. So let's make a quick comment on this, both of us, for a minute, and point out very clearly that what she's talking about is not just a foreign country. It's not even Zionist occupied government. It's Jewish occupied government, because not only have they occupied us in terms of the policy toward Israel, they've occupied us about transgenderism. They've occupied us about opening our own borders to physically replace the populations, the traditional populations of America. So they, in turn, could diminish our population and they could compete better and actually take over the media, the economics, and affect the politics by controlling this divide and conquer strategy, by telling the minorities, raising them up and making them hate white people. But then what happens is, and then posing as their friends of the minorities, when they haven't been friends of anybody, they've been friends of Jews. But they knew that changing the demographic of America from traditional America for the interest of the American people, not for the interest of Jews, was essential for their role in Israel and every other thing that they wanted to do in terms of Jewish power in America. Your final thoughts, sir?
Yes. How do people help your work, Dr. Duke?
Well, they can go to Box 188, Mandeville, Louisiana. They can write me and send me some money, cash check, money order. It's Box 188, Mandeville, Louisiana, 70470, and we appreciate all of your help. You can also go to my Gab at Real David Duke, and you can go to my Odyssey at David Duke as well, Dr. David Duke. And you can support our work. And by the way, our website has a massive resource. And my Odyssey has all those original videos that are so classic. Listen, folks, I appreciate you all. I hope you all have a great weekend. And I hope they all have a great time with your friends and family. I'm seeing some of my family members this afternoon, this evening, and over the weekend. I got a birthday coming up on the 1st. And then I got more family coming in for the 4th. But I love you all, and I appreciate you. And it's time that we rise up and talk about these issues. And kudos to Kim Iverson. She's doing a great job. Maybe Kim Iverson for president. Who knows? Okay, folks, that's about it. Love you all, and I'll see you again on Monday.
Tell me what is to come in my life. Have a Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.